Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Aloha, Mr. Hyde.
Aloha to a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. Glad to be here with you, everybody. It's Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland. We've got Shreyas Lada, our KU insider, coming up. A lot of what we're talking about, we'll kind of get the feel for Shreyas and, of course, get the very latest on Darren Peterson and what's going on in the recruiting trail for next year as well. That's on tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, where groups gather for holiday fun. Bring the whole family and your out-of-town visitors to WBC for a taste of pizza and beer made here, east near Central and Woodlawn, west at 13th and Tyler, and in historic Delano at Handley. Wichita Brewing Company, where groups gather for the holiday season. We come back in. We're talking KU. How to sort of digest what we're seeing from KU, all of these things going into it. And then you brought up, you know, top five in the Big 12. Yeah, look, I don't think this team's going to win the Big 12, but I think top five in the Big 12 is a fine expectation. But for me, and as the season slogs along, assuming Peterson is gets back by conference play and all those kinds of things, like, That'll be really interesting stuff to look at as we go. But I've always thought with this year, it was the inverse of the last couple. I just need this team to make the tournament and be playing at a level where they can win tournament games. Their seed, their standing and things like none of that to me matters this year. This isn't the year for all of that. And it was never going to be because we don't know anything still really about this team. The only thing we know, and I think is fair to expect, is that they get better over the course of the year. And if they do, what is that ceiling and how deep a run could this team potentially make when that time comes?
Yeah, I mean, that's the question that I'm asking, is the fact of what should KU be? Like we've said on this show that
they should always be a second weekend team. Yeah, KU's X, to me, in my opinion, and I've always felt this way, you can get a barometer of your season if you want to try to take something from the tournament because it is so insane and difficult. And the second weekend should always be your baseline for a program like KU. They should always be figuring into the Sweet 16, basically. Yeah, and then you go from there.
If they're not in the Sweet 16, they got upset by somebody. But I think that as much as a crapshoot that March Madness is, as you've said, like, we've talked on the show how insane the Big 12 championship streak was. So, like, what is KU basketball? And I think that we've still not really found what that answer is. I think what they win it, they won it in 2022, the Grady year, they won the Big 12. Yeah, they were a one seed. They won the Big 12 that year. Mm-hmm. And so since then, they haven't. And it's just like, what should they be doing? Like, Like, KU's a blue blood. Like, they're still considered probably a top three program in all of college basketball, I would say. And it's like, what does that translate into? Like, what should – like, KU fans – no offense, KU fans. I grew up a KU fan. Are the kings of saying the sky is falling whenever they lose games.
True,
and for good reason. It's KU. Yeah. You're not supposed to lose the games. So, like, what? It's less now. Like, the sky wasn't falling last night. What do they want out of this team?
Well, they want it to be considered one of the top two or three programs every single year. And typically it is. It's been so strange the last three. Like, you couldn't to say they need to recruit different, or they had the preseason number one team for two straight years. So if we're talking just about expectations and where you want them to see sitting at the beginning of the year and all that, that's what they've done. This year was never going to be like that. Kansas wasn't going to walk into this year and be a preseason number one. They've got a star freshman and a whole lot of other players that you hope are going to be better. We know that Badunga's upside is there, and that's playing itself out, I think. But, like, again, this wasn't and isn't going to be the year of what the last two were, that where the team is peaking right out of the gates. And that is fine, because I don't think anybody has been thrilled with where those teams ended up. All we care about with this team, or at least for me, is where do they end up? Not where are they in the Champions Classic against Duke? I don't care much, especially care if Darren Peterson's not playing.
I agree. It's a barometer, but it doesn't matter because it's November basketball and it's KU.
Barometer? They looked fine last night. They did. They looked just fine. Like, they most people thought that was going to be a big Duke win.
I think that they got
to 12. That was not a big Duke win.
Given the circumstances, I agree. It was a fine performance. But the question is, fine by what standard? Like you don't have Darren Peterson. So what
my expectations are at the end of this year.
Yeah. So, like, what is, like,
it, Sweet 16. That's my expectation.
By watching what they saw last night and adding Darren Peterson to that team, like, do they think this is a Big 12 title contender? Do they think that this is a national championship contender? Like, where, what are they building towards?
You always expect to be building toward a national championship when you're KU. I think it's just, I just don't think it's realistic to think of them as a Big 12 winner, because I don't think they're going to, I think it's going to take longer than that to hopefully be peaking. Do you plop Darren Peterson onto the roster we saw yesterday and the way that they played, and that team's going to go win a national championship? No, but that's not the right way to look at it, because you're expecting growth from all of them, not just Peterson. Like, it's Peterson coming back and these other players also getting better over the course of their young college careers, first or maybe second season. Like, you've got to, when you talk about the end result expectation, you're baking an improvement for Cole Rosario. You're baking an improvement for Flory Badunga. You're baking in chiseled out and defined roles for Trey White and Melvin Council. Bryce, I thought Tiller looked pretty good last night, honestly.
Tiller's been, like, the biggest surprise of the year. He's really helpful
physically
for the team.
Every time he's out there, I'm like, man, who is that? He kind of looks like, who does he look like to me a little bit? Just, like, athletically, he looks like some of these guys, like David McCormick, maybe. You're like, is that okay? Who's that guy? And then you're like, oh, that's Tiller.
Like, it's a good thing. It's a good thing that he is what he is for a team that is, like, 5.5 deep. I'll say it that way. Like, last night they were 5.5 deep. Like, it's a good thing that Tiller, because he's going to be the guy that is either coming off the bench, or he's going to start and put, you know, whoever on the bench, Melvin Council on the bench, or whoever, Trey White, I don't know who it would be. But, like, that helps a ton, because he was another question mark of, he was here last year, he couldn't play, but he was here. So
the ceiling for KU will be defined by Peterson, by Badunga, and by Rosario. I'm pretty confident in that, but it also is going to be aided by, need to be aided by, the roles that everybody else grows into. And so, like, on a normal KU team, you know the roles, even as everybody else kind of comes up, right? You know, we know the roles of most of the players on the floor. Like, this is your defensive lockdown guy. This is your spot shooter. This is your glue guy. Like, we had those roles, and then, like, who grows with them in those other spots? But Jalen Wilson's not walking through that door, right? Like, that player for them is just, we all expect to be Darren Peterson. And we're expecting him as a true freshman to be an All-American. And I think that he can be and will be as long as he plays, as long as he's able to physically get out there and go. So what does everybody else grow into? It's going to be Badunga. It's going to be Rosario. So if it's three young guys, a sophomore and two freshmen, how long do you think it's going to take before we hopefully see them peak? I mean, it's going to be February. It'll take some time. And I know that's going to be frustrating and annoying for fans. But it is what it is. Like, it's going to take some time. Do they play at Houston this year? They're probably going to go down to Houston, and they're going to get their butts kicked, probably. And it'll be fine. Because, again, it's how do they use that to build on what they do in March? And until the live ammo starts flying for these young guys, they're not going to know what that's like. So we got to let them get in there. We got to let them react to it. And it is. It's going to be uneasy, I think, for KU fans this year. But that to me has been as predictable as anything. This was always going to be an up and down year, much like the last two have been. The only difference is the last two, they came in as preseason number one. This team comes in with, in my opinion, regular season. The expectations are like, not even that, like, who cares? Like, that's not what it's all about this year.
Yeah. It's a big question. I think that the biggest overarching thing is the fact of, you know, where is KU basketball? And I think that that answer will keep changing over the years, I think. And I think that
they got the number one player in the country to come there this year. And they look like they have a good chance to get the number one player next year to come too. I think you don't need to worry about that. I think they've got the resources and the ability. They got stuck with a roster for 3 years where they didn't have room to grow and develop any other players. And these are the consequences of that. That it's going to take a minute to get a few players to be able to be in there with these star freshmen that they're going to be able to recruit in this new era, right, of seemingly unlimited resources. That's just the way it's going to be. It's going to take a year or two for them to rebuild the program.
It's just harder. It's just harder than it used to be is the biggest thing I can say about it, because everybody's better now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's yes, maybe. Maybe. Maybe so. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk to Shreyaslata about it in a little bit. When we return, we got more Sports Daily. We'll step away from college basketball for a minute here on the show. Don't go away.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
one-day-only Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change while supplies last.
Black Friday? More like Black Fri-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dude, you gotta hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Glad to be with you. If you want to win tickets to see Journey, a pair of tickets at Interest Bank Arena on April 4th, you can enter this contest by texting the keyword Journey to the number 20357. One entry daily until Friday. Standard message and data rates apply. Jacob Allrock, TJ Cleland here with you. We'll have Shreyas Lotta coming up in just a little bit. TJ, the college football playoff rankings are out. Ohio State is up at the top. Indiana, Texas A&M, Georgia. No surprises with any of those. Texas Tech is at 5 now. So if we're looking at where the Big 12 stands, you've got Tech up there at 5, and then you've got BYU and Utah at 11 or 12. The problem would be that BYU and Utah right now are on the outside looking in because you've got to get in your ACC champion, which at this point would be Miami, and then your next highest, right, which would be all the way down at number 24 with Tulane. So the Big 12, if it wants even two in, has some work to do. You look at Alabama down there at 8-2, who just lost, right? Oklahoma went to their place and beat them. Alabama gets their cupcake, and then at Auburn, and I don't think they're going to play in an SEC championship game. So that's going to be a challenge, probably. Oklahoma gets Mizzou and LSU, probably a little more likely that you might make up a little ground. So I think if you want two teams in from the Big 12, it's probably going to need to be Tech winning out and then losing in the Big 12 championship game. Otherwise, TJ, I don't know how many times we can have this conversation. It's looking like we could be in a situation where one Big 12 team gets into the college football playoff.
Yeah, it's looking that way. It's going to take some circumstances to get them in. I don't really know how the
because
best
if
way
BYU
to do it
or
is.
Utah is in position and in a Big 12 championship game loses to Tech, they're going to fall out.
Yeah, I mean that'd be the what their second loss, third loss.
Yeah, second for BYU, third for Utah.
Yep, I mean that's the only way in, and I think that that's kind of the recipe that's going to happen. Like I think that like it's usually going to be one. If I don't know, like this would be the case if 2022 K-State would have been in and TCU would have also been in. Like that's how that typically will fall. The past couple of years, it's kind of been one team will be in, and then well, I guess last year was weird with Arizona State and who did they even play? Iowa State. I think Iowa State was right there, so they could have had a chance too. But I think that that loss put them out of contention as well. So there will have been like the Texas year whenever they won it over Oklahoma State, I believe that team was. Like Oklahoma State could have won and Texas would have lost and still been in as well. So that's really the recipe for the Big 12, for the ACC, like we saw last year that happened with them. That's just kind of what the reality is going to be because at the end of the day, their schedule's not as tough as the SEC teams and or the Big, I mean, the Big 10 teams at the top at least. So that's the tough part to fit them in. So I don't know if I still agree with the model that they want to do, but
yeah, I mean, this is also one of those interesting spots where we'll be looking at it and you'll say, man, if let's say BYU wins out and let's say Oklahoma loses a game and you've got BYU at 10 and BYU's at 10 and Texas Tech wins out. It'll be a situation where it's like, well, man, it'd be better for the league if they weren't playing this Big 12 championship game. But at the same time, that game leaves the window open for a lot of teams that could still get there. But it is a little bit like those conference championship games, like they can hurt you. And that could happen this year. I think if Texas Tech gets there unscathed and loses, they'll still be in. And that would be that. I believe that's probably going to be the only path to two teams from the Big 12 getting in this thing. And I hate that. I hate that. Because if BYU is there and in position and lose, they'll be out. This is why I don't hate the model that guarantees two Big 12 teams in there. I just think every year it's going to be really difficult for them to do. It's not a knock on the Big 12. It's not at all. It's just it's the league is so even every year. There is not a haves and have nots in the Big 12 like there are in the Big 10 and to a lesser degree to the SEC, but certainly to the Big 10, where you've got usually two or three or maybe four awesome elite teams and a whole bunch of hot garbage teams.
I mean, I agree with it's hard to get two teams in, and having two in guaranteed would be great, but I just think it's more so the fact, and I think that Brett Yormark's in the same spot, is that you just can't get on board with giving the Big 10 four auto bids. Like,
right.
That's the thing that's going to hinder that forever. If what would that be? So if two SECs, two Big Tens, two
eight.
Big 12s, yeah. So eight, and then one group
four
of five,
at largest, three at
would
largest.
leave you with six, seven.
No, in a 16, yeah, it, yeah. You 17. In a 16, you'd have
seven
six
at largest.
Six
at largest.
And,
if you get two,
you'd have
five, yeah.
And most of the time, probably at least half those go to the SEC, and that's probably fair in reality.
If that was what it was, then I'd be on board for it. The SEC and the Big Ten never would.
It would. The one downside to the two guarantees is that really would nullify the importance of a conference championship game. Like, it would basically just wipe it out, because sure. Who cares at that point?
Who wins the game?
So I get all the things against it. I just don't know.
The best
what,
way this
in
is, this
what
is real
world,
deep in the weeds here.
In what world is the Big 12 ever going to be in a good and consistent position to put two teams in? I would say if all stayed the same. Now, let's be fair to this too. And this is on me because whenever I think about this, I am thinking about it in a 12 team format. Of course, we should be talking about a 16 team.
Yeah, they might have
format.
Three in.
Well, maybe, but here comes that really challenging question again of let's say it's BYU in there with Tech and BYU loses. Does Utah move ahead of BYU? What if it got to a point where Utah stays exactly where they are and BYU falls down because they lose and a couple other teams underneath them win? Like that could also be challenging. But to be fair, in a 16-team format, this could be a year, yeah, where three could get in, but three would get in whether they were guaranteed two or not, I think, because you'd have four and four makes eight, and it would leave six anyway. So I think they'd get in either way, but not three. So maybe this is a year for it's a challenge. I'm less convinced than I used to be. I'm more okay with just letting the chips fall where they may. But I still envision years where it's going to bite them in the butt. And they'd be like, we had two guaranteed.
To get real deep in the weeds here, I don't know if you've ever seen this. This was a thing that started floating around last year because it always has the issue that we're talking about right now. And we're going to be talking about it in December as well, about how come a team that loses a conference championship game gets penalized more than a team that didn't make the championship game. And it's the argument every single year that you
every
have
year.
At large playoff bracket. The argument that somebody made last year or 2 years ago, I can't remember what it was or who it was, but it was something where that like you conference championship games just become play-ins and you structure the bracket to say there's five play-in games on here. But then like that is what leads into this.
My thought on this is, and this is a change I think they should make across college, but this would have, I think, prevented last year's Indiana team from getting in. They didn't play anybody all year. I'm not saying that about them this year, but last year they didn't play anybody because they got lucky with their schedule. I think the fix to that is to do like, let's say you have your conference championship game, right? Make three and four also play each other in a game. You just make it a home game for three. Right, that people get excited about because it's another game. You get rid of one of the cupcakes and you leave room for that. If you really wanted to get wild and you really want to know what I think, you have a conference tournament. You have like but then you don't need the second game, so that's not really necessary. But if you at least make three and four play, you're making three potentially earn something, right, to get in. It's not foolproof. We're always going to have this challenge. And I do like the concept of a conference championship game winner being guaranteed a spot. So I don't want to get rid of conference championship games by any means. But there's going to be years where this comes up. It seems to come up all the time. Mm-hmm. If BYU plays and loses to Tech in a Big 12 championship game, they can't fall below Utah. So they probably would just not move, right? They beat Utah. Not only did Utah not have to play a game, BYU beat them head to head. I mean, you can't drop them below.
Yeah, it's always going to happen every single time, and it happens in basketball. But the good part about basketball is that the tournament is ginormous, and you play so many games that you've got like uber amount of data points. And that's the thing about March Madness. And whenever you get into the discourse about like, oh, well, this team, if K-State was snubbed from the tournament, K-State was like the 45th best team in the country. Like nobody's going to lose sleep over the 45th best team in the country not making it in.
That's
except
right.
For K-State fans, obviously,
right,
or whoever it may be. It's an example. But in football, I mean, the 13th ranked team in the country not getting in, sometimes it's the 12th or the 10th ranked team in the country because of the auto bids. Like that sucks.
It used to be
the fifth best team in the country. It used to be the third.
We're getting there. Like it's coming along. Nobody will be mad if this goes to 16. You might pretend you are in the beginning and then it'll play. Like, is anybody right now, anybody out there saying, man, I really wish we were back to four.
No.
Literally anybody.
It's pretty, I feel like it's kind of funny that like there's more traction for March Madness expanding than it is the college football playoff expanding.
Which is silly.
But nobody wants March Madness to expand and everybody wants the college football playoff to expand.
Well, not everybody. There were some people that didn't want it past two because they would have told you then the games mean more in the regular season. That was always the argument. I'm like, nobody plays each other. Like you can't, It's so silly that we don't at least have conference champions all represented. But then it was 12. We can't go to 12, and now we're at 12. Does anybody, 1 year into this thing, is anybody like, man, I really wish it was back down to 4? No. Does anybody sit with the NFL playoffs and say, man, I wish it wasn't 7. I wish it was back down to 6 or whatever it is. Of course not. No.
We got 5 minutes here. Let's dig into what I just brought up. It's randomly in the middle of November. Should March Madness be expanded? Are you pro that? Are you pro 72?
I will tell you that I don't really care. I don't have a strong take on it. I don't think it will impact the thing about March Madness that I love the most at all. If you want to have bubble teams all playing each other in early week games like we have now on Tuesday and Wednesday, like if all the 10 seeds have to play each other, like I don't care. It's not that big a deal. At the end of the day, it puts more fan bases in it, and that's fine. But it's not going to make a bit. Like, to me, the tournament starts when you get to Thursday. Here's the only thing with expansion that I don't want to see that would make me mad. If all of a sudden now all your Cinderellas have to play each other before the actual tournament starts, that's the only thing that they expand that would annoy me. Because now you are infringing upon my tournament greatness, which is always that outside chance that a true Cinderella, right? Not Syracuse being a 10 seed, like a true Cinderella getting a win in the actual tournament. So as long as they can't be.
And I'm even back to the part where, like, and I understand why they do it and why the teams like it, but the 6 teams having to play each other to get in is always so lame to me as well. I think that every play-in should be a bubble team. If you got an auto bid, I feel like you should get a crack.
Auto bids do not get the early. I totally agree. That's the only thing that, like, if you want to put more bubble teams in, great. Don't care. Fine. It's not going to impact anything for me. Also, the tournament for me will start on Thursday. Unless Wichita State's playing in it, the tournament for me is going to start on Thursday. And that's when none of this other stuff matters. I don't have a hot take on that. I don't care if they expand it or if they don't expand it.
Yeah.
As long as they leave the main part of the tournament alone and don't mess
with it. I think I'm in that boat more so than the fact of like, I really don't understand all the pushback around it unless it is what we're talking about.
It's just such a big number. People are like, oh, it's ridiculous. Everybody gets in, but it's not going to impact how you watch the tournament.
Yeah. I agree. I think that the best team has to win 6 games, and I think that that's and if a bubble team wants in, you got to win 7, and I think that that's just kind of the argument to be made about that.
I go through this exercise every year. As wild as the tournament is and the format is outrageous, teams outside of a top 4 seed have almost no chance to win it. Historically, it almost never happens. It's happened just like literally a handful of times, and one of the times it was UConn. And maybe 2 of the times it was UConn. Like, it's so unlikely for a team to make it all the way through. Like, if you're talking about the likelihood of winning it, you could have a 16-team tournament. Because 95% of the time, that's who's winning the tournament anyway. So it really is like, we only have those beginning parts for the first week of the tournament and how much fun it is. I don't think this impacts that at all. So for me, it doesn't, like, I just don't get too worked up about it whatsoever. I think expanding the college football playoff is a far more interesting conversation on both sides.
Yeah. I mean, that, I think that we're teetering the line, I think, is the only thing with that is the like, how much football is going to be too much college football?
I don't disagree. I don't disagree. I think you can get too big. I will say, as somebody who went to a Division II, and I know you did too, but a Division II with a good football team, I think that bracket is 32.
Yeah, it's big.
And it was like, it was fun. Like, it was a lot of fun, but it's set up in such a different way. It was set up by regions. And so it was a little bit different. Like, the teams never really play each other. So you've got nothing to go off of. It's a little bit easier to have a better understanding. I've always thought 16 it makes the most sense and is perfect. It gets your conference champions in. It gives teams that started slow but might be the best team still a chance to get in. And it gives teams with an injury, let's say, at some point in the year. Like, let's say Texas Tech had lost one more game somewhere while their quarterback was out, while Bear Morton was out. I would really want to see that team have a chance to go toe-to-toe with some of the so it also allows for that. Like, that team lost their quarterback in the middle of the season for a couple of weeks, but man, they look good. And I think a 16 gives them a chance to still get in there. That's the other thing, I think. And then there's the other side of it. And I would ask you this, and I was going to anyway. How many teams right now do you think are capable of beating Ohio State?
Three.
Maybe.
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 Yeah.
Tech, A&M, and Georgia?
Maybe.
Maybe. That's and that's the other side of it, right? It doesn't matter. Like, usually the cream rises to the crop. It's very, very, very top.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
That insider is Shreyas Lotta. Glad to be with Shreyas again this week, coming off of a loss there to Duke in New York City, Shreyas. We've spent a lot of time with, like, what do we take away from this one? I think that, you know, honestly, a lot of the players not named Darren Peterson looked okay in that one. I'm not terribly disappointed in the performance, but what was your bird's eye read on the game last night?
Yeah, I'm currently in my hotel room in New York, actually, but I came away pretty impressed, honestly. I feel like this is the first time Kansas as a team has looked pretty good, decent. Is the word I'd use. I feel like, you know, you could clearly see they were a Darren Peterson away from making that a competitive game or at least a win. But I felt like I came out of that game thinking the rest of the team stepped up, I think, in a way that I didn't expect them to. They didn't, like, die on impact. You know, they played up with a lot of energy from the get-go. They were impressive on defense. They muddied up a good Duke offense. Trey White played really well. Floyd Badunga played really well. Melvin Council had a really good second half shooting wise after a tough first half. I think there were a lot of positives. I mean, I think the only thing I can be negative about is their shooting is such an issue right now, I think, because of the fact that, like, they don't really have any ball handling outside of Melvin Council. So then you're forced to have him take some really tough, if not wild shots, as we saw in the first half, because there's no guys that can create their own shot. And if there's nobody who can shoot the ball, then, like, who's going to score, right? So I think sometimes we saw that in the game against Duke where he was just forced to kind of put something up because he did that at St. Bonaventure a lot because he was the entire team. And he shouldn't have to do that at Kansas.
Yeah, Shreyas, I'm glad you got to sleep in, by the way. He's running at 9:40 today instead of 8:40 on the East Coast.
I did not sleep in. I got up at 6:30 to get breakfast with a friend. I've been running around everywhere in New York.
City that never sleeps. One thing that we've talked about a lot today is the fact of, you know, what the rest of the team is. Something we talked about a lot all season, and whenever Darren isn't out there, is that this is the group of guys that they've got. And, you know, it feels weird because, like you said, and I think this is the sentiment that a lot of KU fans have, is that you walk away from a 12-point loss to Duke, you know, feeling optimistic. Like, I don't remember a KU team where one guy would affect the outcome as much as Darren Peterson does. Like, I think that if Hunter Dickinson didn't play in a game, like, they'd still have a chance to win a lot of the games that they won. I think that, you know, we saw Kevin McCullough go down. They were still a really, really good team. They weren't as good, but they would still beat a lot of really good teams. Like, what is this team that without Darren? And it sounds like you're, you know, not happy, but you're content with a 12-point loss to Duke with the rest of this roster. What's that say about the roster?
You know, I like the way they play without him. I mean, you know, they played tough. They played hard basketball. I mean, everyone knew they were going to lose the game without him. I think that was without question. It was, how are they going to look losing the game? And they passed the test of, well, they didn't roll over and die. I think if you're a Kansas fan, you have to come out of there thinking, wow, this team really fought. You know, they were competitive against a really good Duke team, a Duke team that has five stars coming off the bench like, you know, nobody's business, a team that doesn't even have on KenPom an average of 1 year of Division I experience per player. They're a very young team. And you'd see that at points last night. But I think from this Kansas team, it's clear that it's so configured around Darren Peterson. If anything positive you can take away from these games without him is, well, they're learning how to play without him. So when he's on the bench, when he comes back, they should look better in those minutes, theoretically. Obviously, what is probably happening is if he comes back, you know, after Vegas, which is what I expect, but obviously depending on what happens Friday, it might take a little bit of time to reconfigure the team because they might have played a different style of basketball than they would with Darren Peterson. I can't hear you.
You act like he hosts the show, Sharice. He doesn't know how to unmute his microphone. what is the?
Sorry, I coughed. I think everybody. I think everybody appreciates that. So you said after Vegas, Sharice.
I think so. Bill said they would reevaluate Friday. So obviously things could change. But like, if you're thinking logistically and logically, you always want to play it safe. There's no point in playing in that tournament in the players' era. And I'd heard about the hamstring thing. Like, I think I reported out there, like, before Bill said it was an issue, and then Bill said it was happened that Tuesday, and then he came back and said it actually happened before that. It seems like, and I asked him this last night, it seems like the cramps of the hamstring are kind of related, even though that, you know, he's not dealing with the cramps anymore, according to self. But I think just by being cautious and looking at the calendar, I bet he comes back the UConn game. Maybe there's a chance late next week, but I wonder if they would just decide to be safe and let him take the extra week off in with the Vegas games.
What do you take into going into that players era? It's the first time KU's played in the players era. We got a little bit of time until we get into that, I guess. Or I guess that's coming up next week. I don't have that much time as I thought. what do you take going into that tournament? It's so much different than the Maui Invitational, than going to the Bahamas, things of that nature. And this seems like it's the future of what midseason tournaments are being for these, you know, powerhouses.
Yeah, I mean, they're not playing amazing opponents. I mean, they're playing Syracuse that almost lost to Mount Monmouth. I can't pronounce your name. I definitely know how to say it, but I forgot. Yesterday they barely beat them. And then they're playing Notre Dame, which is, I mean, you know, Notre Dame is a football school. Let's call it what it is. So I'm not, like, worried about them. But, you know, I think the big thing with these games is, can they stack some win together if Darren Peterson doesn't play? And if they can stack some wins together, I think that's a positive thing. Like, right now, their record is 4-2, and I'm sure they would like to be better than that. You know, they probably wish they had the UNC game back, looking back on it. But I honestly, in the grand scheme of things, I don't think it matters. Like, I'm at the point of, like, tell me when it's conference basketball season, yep. Because, like, all these games are just, like, such non, like, sequitur of, like, what is actually going to happen, because we've seen two seasons of college basketball where Kansas has played really good in non-conference play, and the minute Big 12 play hits, they're just not that good. I don't think that team is like this. I think this team is a lot better than that, but they win, they lose. It's more about trends for me than the actual win-loss record.
It sounds like you've been listening to the show, because we said that earlier, is that November does not matter if you're Kansas Jayhawks. It does not matter at all what you do in this month of November. I think that one of the biggest, you know, themes that we've taken away from last night is, and as again, all season long, we've been seeing the same thing over and over again. What is a reasonable expectation? We say that we're happy with what we saw last night, and they're one Darren Peterson away from being blank. Like, what is the blank? What should an expectation for this team be?
I think a second weekend team, at least. Like, you should expect this to be a second weekend team. I don't know after that, to be honest with you. I think it depends on how the rest of the guys turn out. I think their shooting, to me, is going to be a big question mark if Cole Rosario cannot figure out how to make a bucket from beyond the arc. I think he's – speaking of Cole, I was really impressed with him yesterday. Like, his defense, his help defense, his tenacity on the offensive boards, rebounding. I just need him to make a bucket, man. Like, I need him to shoot. Like, that's the thing they brought him on to give this Kansas team. And once he figures that out, he's going to be special. And I think he already is. But, I think the ceiling of this team for me is so unclear, because there's a lot of young guys that I feel like are scratching the surface of their potential. Like Floyd probably played the best game he's played in a Jayhawk uniform against a real opponent yesterday. Like to put up 14-6 against Duke is not something easy. And he held his own against Cameron Boozer, you know, when he had to guard him. I thought he made it very difficult for him. And when Kansas had to send doubles when Bryson Tiller was guarding him and Cam Boozer, he had to, you know, pick up his dribble and either pass it out or take a wild shot. I mean, he finished 7-17. A guy who's going to be a top three NBA pick next year, finishing 7-17 is probably the best you're going to get.
I want to go back to Darren Peterson real quick because it's good to hear that the cramps and hamstring might be related. Why does Kansas have such a hard time with these injuries? And like, this could have been so simple. It could have been so simple. Hey guys, like it turns out he has a hamstring injury. We're going to shut him down for a couple of weeks here, but they never, like whether it was Kevin McCullough in his back, whether it was Remy Martin back in the day, like they really struggle. And I'm like, I don't have the energy for the conspiracy theories out there. Like it feels like Kansas could just handle this much easier and just say he has a bad hamstring. He's injured. Darren Peterson is injured with a hamstring. He will be shut down for 2 weeks. Like, why is that so difficult for them?
I think logically speaking, there is a belief that this is the only year, which I mean, it is the only year you're going to watch Darren Peterson, right? So if you rule him out early, there will be less fans that showed up to games or less enthusiasm around this team. I think it's got to be
we're
that.
We're throwing more conspiracies out there. Jeez. I like it.
No, but I think it makes sense to me because it's like, you know, like why would you rule him out? I also think it's something that's a developing thing. I think it's been nagging. Like Bill Self said it yesterday. This is something that's been ongoing for a while now. So I think they didn't expect this thing to be a three-game absence. Now it's a three-game and potentially counting absence. He's going to reevaluate it Friday. I think the lack of transparency is Bill Self just doesn't want to talk about this. It's that. I mean, when Bill Self wants to talk about something and he knows he believes what he's talking about, he will come out there and say something that makes you believe what he's saying. He has not been good at lying about this thing. Basketball coaches are really good at lying about this.
Just don't need to lie. It's a hamstring injury. It's not a big, like, no, but I really don't think people would be that disappointed. They're like, oh crap, he's got a bum hamstring. Well, we'll see him when he gets back.
I mean,
they'd be disappointed he's not playing, but they wouldn't be trying to figure out why he's not playing.
That's fair. I think people have this like belief that these guys should be playing on everything because they make millions of dollars a year. I think there's a little bit of that attitude. I talked to a bunch of fans pregame, and obviously these were fans that were sitting right behind the basket. So I think they're a different level of income than the typical fans I see in my Twitter mentions. But most of the time, at least. But I was pretty impressed with their ability to kind of have the long view on things of like, well, I mean, these games don't really matter. Yes, I'd like to see him play Duke. Yes, I'd like to see him play UConn or whatever. But it's Big 12 play. And yes, I'm a little disappointed that he's not here, but I'm still really excited to see this team. And I trust Bill Self and that kind of sentiment from the fans. But there is he's getting paid X amount of money. He's got to go out there and play, and like it's going to hurt his draft stock if he doesn't play. Guys, him playing hurts his draft stock more. I've like been in the draft for a long time. You can't play.
He could not play a minute, and he'd still be a top five pick.
Yes,
he'd be Michael Porter Jr.
100%, 100%. It's the same thing with Kevin McCullough. Him playing hurt his draft stock. He should have shut it down earlier. It's the same exact thing.
Yeah, he'll be back. He's going to be awesome. Just give it a minute. KU fans, just give it a minute. Shreyas, go find all his work at the KC Star. Enjoy New York City.
Joe's Pizza. Go to Joe's.
Joe's.
It's mid.
Oh, my God.
Take him off the show.
Boy, Shreyas walked us off with a nuke there on the Joe's is mid. I'm not even 100% sure what mid means, but I think that was an insult.
It was.
We're going to have to circle back to that next week. Thanks for being here with us, everybody. You've got Butler Grizzlies basketball tonight. Butler on the road in Coffeyville. You'll hear that right here on KFH 97.5 FM 1240 AM. You can listen online at kfhradio.com or, of course, on the Odyssey app where you'll find this show
podcast it out. If you missed anything with Shreyas, if you missed anything with Kevin Saul, or our discussions on the losses last night, a little more chipper with a couple losses than I think we'll typically be in a week or so when it comes to college basketball. But there it is for you. TJ and I will see you on the air on 12 News a little bit later today. For Max, thanks to Shreyas Lotta and Kevin Saul. And TJ, I'm Jacob. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Big deal brands are on sale right now at Designer Shoe Warehouse. Save up to 25% on select styles from the brands on everyone's list, like Nike, Adidas, New Balance, Crocs, Reebok, and more. Because the only thing we love more than dropping a name is dropping a price. You don't want to miss this one. These brands are almost never on sale. So shop the DSW Holiday Name Drop Sale today at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
one-day-only Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change while supplies last.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.